Good morning. This is Focus 580, our morning telephone talk show. My name is Jack Brighton, sitting in for your regular host, David Inge. Glad you could listen today. During this hour of the show, we'll talk about consumer electronics, something that's kind of fun and challenging, daunting even, perhaps, because things are changing so fast. Something that we always observe, but it is always more true the next time we talk about it. Our guest, Rich Warren. He's a columnist for the Champaign-Urbana News Gazette, host of the Midnight Special on WFMT and WILL. He knows a lot about music. That's an understatement. Also, he knows a lot about consumer electronics, as he follows that subject quite closely. And the point of the show is to answer your questions. If you would like to ask questions about consumer audio, video, I don't know, phones, cameras, computers, and the new way these things are combining into, I don't know, what it's a tricorder, is that what it's called? I don't know. Anyway, there are all kinds of things to talk about, and whatever is on your mind is welcome on the show. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call us, 333-9455 around Champaign-Urbana. Toll-free anywhere you can hear us around Illinois, Indiana, continental U.S., in fact, 800-222-9455. Your questions are welcome. And Rich, you're welcome here. Thanks for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And you know, it's funny you say all these things are interrelated now. And yet I'll tell the listeners right now that as far as cameras and computer hardware, sure, I know a little bit. But when I started in this, I was an audio expert because I love music. And I got to know everything I could find about audio equipment. And then, of course, we entered the video era. So I learned all about video and tried to become an expert on video. And now we're in an era where everything is interrelated, intertwined, and you just can't be an expert on everything. It's just impossible. And I have people sending me questions about what kind of laptop computer should I buy? And I say, well, ask Greg Klein, who's the computer columnist at the News Gazette, or the gentleman who was on Celeste's show yesterday. When it comes to cameras, I know Focus 580 has a couple of camera experts they have on. It's really difficult to follow this moving target. Sometimes I feel like I'm at a shooting gallery, and every time I nail one question, there's a thousand pop up that are constantly like a barrage of new technologies. And I read the trade magazines, and I go to the Consumer Electronics Show. And literally, at the Consumer Electronics Show, you need track shoes to go from one press event to the other. And every company has new computer-enhanced this and computer-enhanced that, basically just taking logic chips or microprocessors and sticking them in a product and getting more functionality, which we may or may not need. One of the things I love about Bose is they just refuse to keep adding things to their products. You know, they say, well, what makes it easy to use? That's what we're going to sell, and try to keep the technology as hidden as possible from the consumer so you don't have to make all these choices like buying a stereo receiver and having 500 sonic enhancements, whether you want to have sound like a concert hall or a jazz club or a basement or a field. Or, I mean, it's just too much to choose from. So I try to keep ahead of this, but I don't always manage. And now I was just talking to your engineer, Rick Bigler, about the technologies of digital TV and digital radio and some of the things that the consumers don't realize. There's going to be a lot of shuck and jiving going on here because what they're promising is not what we're going to get. And in fact, we may get worse than what we already have. So there's all kinds of things that the industry wants for their pockets and their profits that won't necessarily be good for the people who enjoy the product or enjoy the music or the video or whatever. And I feel really bad about this because this is the first time we're really going backwards in some respects. Everybody hears about HDTV. Well, HDTV is wonderful. It's part of the digital TV system, and a good HD transmission with the full surround sound is a magnificent experience. If you have a good monitor at home, it's really like going to the movies. The first time you really can say that because the resolution is so good on the video. But what a lot of companies are planning now is not to use their digital channels for high definition. They're going to broadcast 4 or 5 standard definition channels. And standard definition digital may be worse than conventional analog broadcasting that we've had for the past 50 or 60 years. And that's very upsetting. We're going backwards. There's one company in Florida that owns a couple of dozen stations that plans to broadcast 2 or 3 standard definition channels and rent out the unused portion of the spectrum to cell phone companies and to other data services. So the consumer will get no benefit from this new system and actually probably get a smearier picture, a less defined picture than with conventional broadcasting. There's all kinds of backward steps that the public isn't aware of. So you have to lobby as the public to tell your local TV stations that you want HD. You don't want 5 channels of reruns of Seinfeld. You want a high-definition version of The Tonight Show, of the TV shows that you want to watch, not reruns in standard definition or multiplexed. They can also do, like, if you have a primetime show that's really popular, then they can broadcast it five different times the same night, of course, you see. But it's better to have one HD broadcast than five poor definition broadcasts of the same show. So it's up to the public to really demand from broadcasters and from advertisers that they want HD, that they don't want this mishmash of standard definition, which is going to look comparable to or worse than our current TV system. So I just wanted to get that out there.
Okay.
It's one of those things, and we can certainly take questions. I see the phones are starting to light
up. Yeah.
Yeah,
we'll get to that in a second. I promise I will get to the callers in a second. I did want to just say one thing. I didn't mean to build you up as knowledgeable about the entire universe of new consumer devices in every shape and form. And in fact, one thing I've always appreciated about your column that you write for the News Gazette is you focus on the standards that are evolving, which is really a key thing to understand. Is, you know, what new formats are coming out, and in particular, you know, we've got this battle between the new DVD formats, Blu-ray and HD DVD, which the battle is still being fought. But this is one of those kind of key moments when, you know, at some point we'll have maybe one or maybe we'll have both. But the consumer needs to understand how these things work.
Right. Also, I'd point out that although I have connections in the industry where I can buy many of these products at a reduced cost, I haven't bought a new TV display in 5 years now since my widescreen rear projection set, because I'm still waiting for the things to settle down.
Right.
I mean, I know a couple of products I would definitely want to buy if I had the money. There's that new 50-inch Pioneer plasma display that sells for $10,000, and even at my price, I couldn't afford it, which is a magnificent piece of electronics. And there's a less expensive Sony, which I think I wrote about in a recent column. That's a very fine bargain and terrific picture. But I'm still waiting for things to settle down because they keep making these minute changes, like the HDMI connectors we talked about last time on the show. I want to make sure that this, whatever I buy, is going to be good for at least 5 years, because I just can't afford to keep replacing a TV every 5 to 10 years. I want something that's going to last a while. So, and then with this new progressive scan, you know, they put the P at the end of the number instead of I. Now, that doesn't really apply to broadcast, because nobody's going to be broadcasting in 1080p. But the new video disc systems, the high-definition disc systems, will have that progressive scan capability, although they are barely using it at this point. So you're going to want that ultimately. So it keeps changing. And I just refuse to spend money that I know may not be well spent in 2 years.
Let's talk with some callers. I'll mention again, we're talking with Rich Warren. He's our consumer electronics guest on the show every so often. He's also a columnist for the Champaign-Urbana News Gazette on consumer electronics and host of the Midnight Special, a fine music program. Airs on WILL AM on Saturdays and also on WFMT in Chicago. That's Friday night.
Saturday night.
I knew that. Too much information. Anyway, here we are taking your questions. The number around Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Toll free elsewhere, 800-222-9455. We'll go to a listener in Savoy first, line number one. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about HDTVs. We live out in Savoy, and I was wanting to know what would be the best way to receive local HD programming. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, actually, Savoy is a pretty good area because it's sort of equidistant between all the major transmitters. And a good outdoor antenna is probably the best way to get it because you can point, let's see, one direction you get WILL-TV and WAND from Decatur, and then due west would be WCIA, and then due east would be WICD, and I think that, well, there's two Fox transmitters, depending on which one you pick up. That's either to the north or to the northwest, if I'm not mistaken. But in any event, you would need a rotor because they're all in different directions, but luckily you're sort of between them distance-wise, so you'd have a pretty good signal from all of them. But an outdoor antenna is the only way to go, and you can get them very inexpensively at places like Radio Shack. They're like $50. You don't need a super-duper one that says 99-mile range. You need an antenna that has a 35-mile range, basically. But you do need a rotor to do it right because you have to change the direction of the signal. Now, I hear that they're working on enhancements to HD that the TV will actually turn the antenna for you. It'll activate the rotor and know where the station will be sending out data, where it's coming from, and then it'll line up automatically. But those aren't available quite yet. But definitely an outdoor antenna.
And this antenna is no different from an analog antenna?
radio waves don't know the difference. What the radio waves are carrying, they're agnostic. They don't know whether they care what's analog or digital. There are other issues, but the RF doesn't know the difference. So the length of the antenna elements and the design is basically the same. I know it's so funny to see advertised digital antennas.
Right.
Makes no difference.
A key point. Don't let somebody sell you an HD antenna. Oh, it's high definition. Well, okay. We have a couple more callers waiting. We'll go next to a listener in Indiana, line number 4. Good morning.
Hi. As you say, there's going to be some shucking going on. It's certainly started. I guess in answer to you, you're holding back. I've been doing that, and I think, my God, I have to hold back forever because every time I put my toe in the water, they're adding something which I absolutely have no interest in whatsoever. So I'm hoping it'll all shake out and you can go down and get what you want for yourself, not, you know, 17 other things that don't mean much in terms of sonic stuff. But the question I have, I think I know the answer to, but it's one of those things in a family situation. I got to get an expert, quote unquote, to give me the answer. And this is it. I got a CD. I've got several CD players, but I've got two that I use mainly. On one, at near the 17th track, it skips, disappears, and starts doing very strange things to the motor. I put it on another CD player, and the track 17 plays all the way through. I've looked at that thing under some high magnification. I can't find any scratches, you know, anything in the way of a ray or anything. And I just wondered if this simply is just going to be, it's just the two players, one's bad and one's good. I was wondering if that answers what would appear most likely.
Well, have you tried other CDs that are recorded with a lot of tracks and a long playing time?
I've tried that, but nobody's willing to give me the time to do that. I realize that would be the right way to do it. Even one family member brought over that spin doctor, whatever that thing is, put your CD in, and we did it a couple times. We went around looking for wool and felt and everything else, and said, well, sometimes it takes 6-7 times for this. You can work this out, and I quit on the third one.
That's good you quit.
I figured with all that wool, it was going to change some dimension somewhere. And the more important question deals with digital radio. I am an ex-shortwave listener, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and I've kept two Sony 2010s. And I'm real concerned about when they do go to digital, if they ever do. It seems to be pushing it back all the time. Have you heard anything in the industry about where there's going to be converters? You know, I'm not going to get rid of my Sony 2010. Because I can't hear something, it's not a digital thing like that. And I just wondered if you know if there's a movement to get some kind of converter so you can hook it up to your, old radios.
I've heard no talk of converters for radio because basically radios are generally so inexpensive that a converter wouldn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I think the price of digital radios when they're finally on the market are going to be comparable to existing radios. It's just basically one extra chip they have to put in. It's the same RF stage. So obviously somebody is going to see a market like yours and come out with some sort of digital converter at some point, but it's going to be not a lot of them and not very, very common. And as far as your CD player, let me explain one other thing.
Okay.
I have two broadcast quality Denon CD players I use to record my radio show. And CDs that play in one sometimes don't play in the other. The tolerance is, the players can be within tolerance, but one can be on the high side, the plus side of the tolerance, and the other player can be on the bottom side, and the CD can be marginal.
Yeah.
And so one player is on the low side is marginal where the CD is marginal and it won't play, and you put in the other player and it says, oh, I can read that, and plays it.
Yeah.
So it's hard to nail down that the player is specifically bad. It's just a range of tolerance, and the CDs themselves have a range of tolerance. And just one or two bad bits in the table of contents, for example, or on the beginning of a track can throw a player into a frenzy. So the player itself may be going away, may be dying, or it just may be that certain CDs, it's reached its tolerance where it can't read those CDs.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Nobody's going to win this one, but at least we'll know what the hell's going on now. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
A couple of the calls waiting. We'll go next to a Champagne listener at line number 2. Good morning.
Good morning. I've been TV shopping, and I've been looking at the Sony rear projection with a SXRD technology. And I was you said that you didn't think they would even be transmitting in 1080p. Is that correct?
That's more than likely, yeah. The basic transmission standard is the I standard, the interlaced standard. I don't know if there's any plans ever to go to P in broadcasting, but it will be make a huge difference when you have high-definition DVDs, which you'll see an improvement with the P. All the experts I've talked with, including the fellow who does the video reviews for Sound and Vision, really think the SXRD is a terrific set, that Sony has done its homework.
Well, I've been looking at the 50 or the 55-inch, and would you even see a difference in that smaller screen in the 1080 or the 780?
Well, you'd see a difference depending on native resolution of the TV versus the source. As far as the 1080i versus 1080p, in the 55, you probably would see a difference. It'll be a much smoother picture with the P on that size screen. If you were buying a 40-inch, I'd say, no, it doesn't really make much difference. But when you get up in the 50-55 range, certainly the differences will become more obvious.
And how about the bulb life on that technology? Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I read some reviews on the Internet. The bulb life, apparently Sony has some of the longest bulb lives of any manufacturer. Sony apparently either makes its own bulbs or has a contract to make bulbs that are apparently superior to most other bulbs on the market. And you can achieve 8,000 hours, they say, with some of the Sony sets, which compared to some of the cheap models in the market, which have a couple of thousand hours of bulb life, that's a pretty good deal. To replace those bulbs can be anywhere from $200 to $500. So it depends, you know, how much you watch. And also they suggest keeping your TV well ventilated.
And I was wondering about if you thought the extended warranty would be worth it on this kind of a television.
I'm glad you asked that because a reader wrote a question. I think I answered it. Is it this week's paper or next week? I think it's this week's paper. I don't recommend the extended warranty, and in fact, I think they're pretty close to a fraud. For example, I did some research, and this reader wrote to me that Best Buy wanted to sell her an extended warranty for her Sony projection TV that was going to cost her $350. Then I went online to the Sony website and found the Sony warranty for the same TV was going to cost $225. And also, there's no guarantee they're going to replace the bulb when it burns out, even if it's within the warranty. You have to read the fine print. It's like in your car warranty, they'll say it doesn't cover wiper blades and tires. And these bulbs are expected to burn out. So a lot of these warranties in the very fine print at the bottom of them, what the salesperson may tell you, says doesn't cover normal wear and tear or doesn't cover a light source or whatever. It'll find some fancy term for light bulb. But read the warranty if you're going to buy it. Read it very carefully. Also, the manufacturer's warranty on some of these sets is pretty generous, 1 to 2 years sometimes on these big expensive projection TVs. And generally, if they don't go bad in the first 90 days, they're probably not going to go bad for 5 years. So the extended warranty really isn't going to get you much except help make the retailer make up the difference between the sale price they sold you at and what they wanted to make in the profit if they had sold it at a regular price.
Well, okay. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Okay, thanks for the call. We're talking this morning with Rich Warren. He's our consumer electronics expert that we have on the show from time to time. He's a columnist on the subject for the Champaign-Urbana News Gazette, and we're taking your questions on consumer electronics. All you have to do is call us around Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455, toll-free anywhere else, 800-222-9455. Next up, someone in Champaign, line number one. Good morning.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to shift, if I might, to a different niche in consumer electronics, and that's FRMS, GRMS, walkie-talkies. Some of us can remember back a few decades when Citizens Band was the rage that one was supposed to get a Citizens Band license, and that has gone by the way. Licenses aren't required for CBs anymore. But if you look at the little fine print in the advertisements for FRMS and GRMS, that you're supposed to get a license, at least for the GMRS part of it. And as best I can tell from looking at the FCC website, those licenses cost something around $80. And I was just wondering if you could put on your prognosticator's hat if you think that the FCC will simply end up disregarding GMRS licenses like they do for, like they've done for Citizen Band.
Okay, first I'll say I'm not an expert in this area. Secondly, I'll say that I'm not encouraging anyone to disobey or to ignore FCC requirements. With that said, the FCC is woefully understaffed and underfunded. They barely can regulate commercial broadcasters. In fact, at one time, in order to be on the air at a commercial station or any radio station, you had to have a third-class license to sit and take the transmitter readings. They've gotten rid of that completely. So only one chief engineer needs to have a license at a radio station. So the FCC may require this, and obviously they could fine you if they catch you, but I'm not sure how they're really going to enforce it when we have tens of thousands of people with these little walkie-talkie-style radios out there talking to each other and over short distances, unless you actually happen to be standing next to an FCC inspector and make a transmission and he requests or she requests your license. I'm not sure how they're going to enforce their requirements. So I urge people to obey the law. At the same time, I'm not sure what it really means.
Well, that was sort of my thought entirely. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Well, plus they're pretty busy, you know, enforcing the fact that we don't say certain words on the air.
Yeah, it's a real pity. Back when I started in radio, the FCC was very strict about the transmission quality of a radio station. Once a year, you had to do a big proof of performance and show that your transmitter and your audio chain were up to snuff and distortion was below a certain percent. And all this, they've done away with that, but now they're concerned that anybody even think of a naughty word when they're on the air. And they can fine a radio station over $100,000 and fine the individual uttering the word $11,000 and take away a license. And they're spending most of their time worrying about that rather than the more technical things that actually benefit the public about keeping radio stations sounding good, performing well, and public service programming, things that they've gone by the wayside. So I don't know, I shouldn't even say this on the air lest somebody be listening, but I don't advocate the use of foul language. I find it very offensive. But at the same time, there are more important things to worry about. And so, and also, I want to get one. I know we have some more calls. But
yeah, sure.
My editor at the News Gazette for the past 10 years has retired to start a new career and is leaving town. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to say that Sally Weeks, who's been one of the features editors and entertainment editors at the News Gazette, who's edited my column for 10 years, is just the most wonderful editor and a great person, and I really wish her well on her new pursuits. And it's a great loss to the News Gazette because she was a really great editor. So I just wanted to get that in, that newspapers are made up of great people who do the editing, and I certainly had one of the best.
That's Rich Warren, our guest during this hour, Focus 580, taking your questions on consumer electronics. We have a couple of callers waiting and time for others. Around Champaign-Urbana, you can reach us at 333-9455, toll-free anywhere else, 800-222-9455. Another Champaign listener, next on line number one. Good morning.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
Well, I've been experimenting in the world of HD TV here in Champaign-Urbana with an antenna and with mixed results. But one of the things I noticed is when we plugged our cable into the tuner of the TV, and we get the cable service that costs $11 or $12 a month, at the other end of the spectrum, it picks up all sorts of HD programming, including all of the networks except for, I believe, WCIA, and including WIOL. But WIOL's programming, unfortunately, it doesn't look right, and I think it was explained to me that that's because they're splitting their signal so that they can have three different versions of WILL that go out digitally. But I just wanted to say that if people do have cable, they might want to look at the other end of the spectrum there, and they might be getting some of these things through their cable for no more money.
Well, that's great to know. I wasn't aware of that, and I don't think the cable company really wants to be aware of that because they want you to pay extra for their digital cable service, which will include high-definition channels. But I don't think you can count on it because it's not something that the cable companies are actually providing for their regular service. So you've sort of gotten a free ride on a technical glitch they have in the system, which allows these to come through but is not something they're promising.
Right, and almost all of none of these are like HBO and that sort of thing, like that they tout or the Discovery Channel. This is all essentially, network broadcasting.
Right. In fact, the agreement now with the government is that cable companies will down convert HD to regular definition and send them down the cable to people, so that you could have an analog TV set and see a regular picture from an HD when the regular analog channels go dark, you'll still be getting analog quality transmission over your cable.
Huh.
Unless you're paying for digital cable, of course.
Right. Which we aren't. And then, but it's really a shame about WIOL because the WIOL DT station is absolutely fabulous, and we used to get it great over our antenna. And then, like I said, for whatever reason, this is a little bit beyond my technical knowledge, but they split the channels up so that they could have three of them, and now it comes across pixelated and very strange. So
I'll have to, I'm not aware of that myself, and I'll have to ask our chief engineer about that because that obviously isn't a good thing.
Anyway, lovely program. Great to talk to you. Thanks.
Thanks so much for the call. All right. Well, yeah, I have to look into that.
Well, I think some of the early HD tuners are not very well equipped to tune the separate. What they're probably doing is during most of the time they're doing the three separate channels, and then when PBS sends them an HD program, they broadcast it in full HD, and so this gentleman probably would get the full HD at that point. Mm-hmm. But at the other times, maybe he has one of the early tuners that's not good at choosing channel A, B, C, or D of the standard definition broadcast, and that's where his problem is occurring.
Okay. Well, I wonder if there's a way we can fix that at this end. Maybe not. I don't know.
Perhaps not. He may need a new tuner or an adapter or whatever to get the separate channels.
We'll check with our chief engineer and see what we can find out. All right. Meanwhile, we'll go on and talk with some of the listeners. Next up, someone in Champaign, line number two. Good morning.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Question that maybe you've covered before, and perhaps the first questioner from Savoy partly asked, are all the local stations broadcasting in HD right now?
You know, that's a good question because I haven't checked them out recently. They are required by law to provide a digital signal. I don't think they're required by law at this point to transmit a high-definition signal.
Okay.
So I know, like,
I thought the first guy was asking for high-definition if he had his antenna.
That I think he was basically wanting to know if he could pick up the digital channels.
The digital channels.
Yeah, which is the carrier on which the HD programming comes.
I see.
I know that for a long time, WCIA was not broadcasting high definition on its digital channel. It was simply up-converting its standard definition broadcast. I don't know now if they, in fact, are transmitting some of the CBS HD programming. I know that Channel 17 was definitely doing true HD, and I think Channel 15 was in line to do it as well. And I'm not sure about Fox. I know Channel 12, or actually the digital Channel 12, WILL, which I guess is Channel 9, is in fact doing genuine HD programming when that's provided by PBS.
Okay. So if I have an antenna, I can sometimes get true HD.
Yes.
Some of these channels.
If you have an HD TV, of course.
Oh, yeah. I understand that. Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Next up, someone in Kankakee on line number 4. Good morning. You're on Focus 580. Is there a caller there?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, great.
It's good to talk with you again, Rich. My question is about convergence devices, and I don't know whether you've had much experience with them, but I think that they're going to be a lot more high visibility than they have. I'm talking about cell phones that do things other than transmit telephone calls. I'm a listener of audiobooks. And so I've been looking for a long time for a cell phone that also has a decent, workable MP3 capability, because I convert my my books on tape and recorded books in that to MP3 format and then carry them around with me. And I've been using a Palm 650, but I'm really not satisfied with it for a lot of different reasons. But I wonder if you've become aware of anything on the horizon, or anything that's currently available that would be a decent MP3 player, plus have good telephone capabilities.
Well, I'm not an expert in this area. I just was out shopping for a new cell phone, and I have the opposite problem. I want a phone that's a telephone. I don't want to take pictures. I don't want to listen to MP3s. And you can't get a telephone any longer. You have to buy all this other stuff, because that's where the profit centers are for the phone companies. Now, that gets back to your question. There are, I believe I've read in some reviews, some new Treo phones that use your choice of operating systems that are supposed to be pretty good in the MP3 area. You have to be careful because some of the cell phone providers, I'm not sure which ones, will not let you load the MP3 files from your home computer. You have to download them from them at an enormous fee. So you want to make sure that whatever device you purchase, that you can actually load your own MP3s into it and not have to download them from the phone company or from the satellite service or whatever. So that's your main issue. I understand the MP3 quality is improving on these devices because the chips are getting better and smaller. And pretty soon, I think within a year, every single phone you buy will have MP3 capability. You also might want to look for one, and I guess your existing unit probably has this, where you can actually add memory through an SD card or a compact flash card or whatever, so that you can, you know, put more of your material into the phone as far as MP3s, because a lot of these phones have fairly limited memory. Of course, talking books are pretty easy because you can do it at a lower sampling rate. They're not music, so you can cram more in there. But I don't know any specific models, though. I think these new Trio models are supposed to be pretty good in that area, but you'd have to check that out.
Well, what I have is the Trio 650, and it does have the SD card capability. So I've got a 2-gig SD card, and so I can, I do have complete control over what goes on onto the SD card through my computer. And, okay, well, thanks a lot for the word.
I wish I could be more helpful. It's one of these things where there's so many devices out there now for this area. And also I wanted to mention, I just read, and this is great, you know, the government was going to subsidize set-top converter boxes for people who couldn't afford to buy a new TV when in 2009, when the analog transmissions stop and you have to have a digital receiver. There'll be a lot of people in this country who don't have digital receivers. So the government was going to send out coupons to people, $40 coupons, to help subsidize the cost of a digital converter box. Well, that's all well and good. Now I read in the latest news, in a little notice portion of the bill that's going through Congress, is that if your home is served by a cable company, whether or not you use cable, you won't be eligible for this converter box, which I think is outrageous. It means if you want to keep your TV operating, you will have to subscribe to cable and get their down-converted analog signal into your TV. You won't get a government subsidy for your cable box.
I wonder what lobbyists were involved in crafting that legislation.
I'm flabbergasted. I mean, first of all, I'm not sure the government should be subsidizing the conversion, but assuming that they do, then every American should be, you know, or under a certain income, should be qualified to get that, whether or not they have a cable company nearby. Yeah. For example, I use cable, but I don't think I want to pay the cable company an extra $10 a month for the digital package or $20 a month, whatever they want. Maybe I just want to put an antenna on my roof to pick up digital signals, but I'll need a converter box. I mean, my TV actually can receive a digital signal, but just for the sake of argument. I don't think it's entirely fair. Also, finally, I think it's next year or the year after, all TVs will have to have digital tuners that you buy. Because I'm still waiting to buy a nice little 20-inch TV with a digital tuner. Because who wants to buy a 20-inch TV to carry around the house and then have to carry a separate box with it as an adapter? It doesn't make any sense. So there's still some things, you know, about that that are coming down the pike. But I thought it was a very interesting thing that they weren't going to subsidize people who had access to cable.
We have a couple callers to talk with. Let's go ahead and do that. Let me just mention again, Rich Warren is our guest. He's a columnist for the News Gazette on consumer electronics, and he joins us every once in a while to take your questions. 333-9455 around Champaign-Urbana, toll-free elsewhere, 800-222-9455. A Champaign listener next, line number one. Good morning.
Hi there.
Mm-hmm.
This is the program you called to ask a really dumb question.
Oh, we're all about that.
I understand, you know, on the computers, my kids do instant messaging and AOL and MySpace, and I don't really understand any of that. I can send email and read my email, and that's about it. But now I understand there's some way that you can use the Internet to make phone calls that are really low cost. And I can't imagine what that means. I mean, do you hook your cell phone up to the computer? Do you speak to your computer? What does it mean that you can use your computer to make cheap phone calls?
Okay, first of all, you have to have a broadband connection to the Internet. That's either a DSL line or a cable modem. It won't work with a regular phone connection. Secondly, you have to have a reasonably good computer, and actually, you don't even need the computer part of it. You can go out to any of the big box stores and buy a complete kit for about $100. This technology, by the way, is called VoIP, V-O-I-P, Voice Over Internet Protocol. That's what the technical name of it is. You can buy one of these kits, and then you have to subscribe to a service and usually get a rebate from the service for buying the kit. Vonage is one, and AT&T is another, and there are a couple smaller ones. Costs range from $15 or $16 a month for 500 minutes to $30 a month for unlimited use, and they allow you to make calls basically for free anywhere in the country or anywhere in the U.S.
Okay.
and Canada. Depends
when
on the package.
When you're making a call, what is at your ear?
They actually give you a telephone. You can actually go out and buy a conventional telephone to connect to this box, or they give you a box telephone, and you can actually have units that resemble a conventional telephone, or you can buy a microphone, headband, earphone thing for your computer, and plug it into your computer and then dial on your computer.
Wired. Do you have a wire from the pieces at your ear to the computer?
You would, yes. However, there's also versions that you can buy that will allow you to use this all over the house like a cordless phone. You can actually use conventional cordless phones that they retransmitted. It gets a little complicated, but it can be done wirelessly throughout the house. All you do is connect it to your broadband router, and you're in business. There are some issues being resolved because they now have to provide 911 service, local 911 service, which they didn't originally, and that's been a hang-up. And there are some questions. There's another system out there to make things even more complicated called Skype, and there's a couple like that, S-K-Y-P-E, that are even cheaper to use, except that they can only call other computers. They can't call regular telephones unless you pay extra for it.
They call other computers that have a telephone attached to it.
That uses Skype or service or a comparable service. But the advantage of the Vonage and the AT&T and a couple of the other ones is that you can call any regular telephone. The person you're calling doesn't have to have a computer.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the clarification.
Sure.
Okay. Thanks for the call. But it doesn't work with your cell phone service.
No.
Right.
It's so complicated. Then there are cell phones, actually. There are adapters. Now you can plug your cell phone into it, give you remote extensions all over the house like you would over the regular cordless phone. So there's all these different variations that's what I mean about keeping up with this.
Yeah.
It changes weekly. Like the whole internet phone service thing, the VoIP thing, was really on the rocks for a while because of this 911 thing, because these companies have to spend a fortune now interconnecting with your local phone company. So make sure that when you hit 911, that it actually goes to the dispatcher here in Champaign County and not to somewhere in Siberia. Because that was an issue that the computer didn't know where you were calling from. The other thing I didn't mention, this person who called, and this is fascinating, is when you have one of these VoIP phone numbers, you can take it with you anywhere. You can request it. If you want a New York City area code in Champaign-Urbana, you can have a New York City area code. And then if you want to take your computer and your router to your vacation home in Upper Michigan, as long as it has a broadband connection, the same phone number goes with you. So it's pretty amazing technology.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing that was confusing, the 911 thing. If you got an area code 212 here in Champaign-Urbana, the poor, it would go to 212 911 in New York, which is not what you... So there's a lot of technology going on to make sure that everything gets routed properly. And finally, I should say, according to all the reviews I've read, that the internet phone service is not comparable yet with good wired local phone service. That is, sometimes you get more noise, you get a little breakup. It depends. Sometimes you have a perfect call, it sounds like you're next door. Other times it sounds like, even if you call somebody across the street, it sounds like you're calling from somewhere in China. So you're not guaranteed the same quality of service, although some phone companies in the Champaign-Urbana area, who will remain nameless, give you that kind of service anyway, where I live. So that's why I did away with my wired phone. And so it depends. But
yeah,
you can't be guaranteed the kind of phone service we remember in the heyday of AT&T.
Yeah, well, the other thing that I'd mention in terms of quality of service, at least from our experiences with our cable modem, it goes out. I mean, there are times when there's service disruptions. So if the power goes out, we have to reset the modem, we have to reset the router. So there, that would, if we were dependent upon that for phone calls, then we'd have to, in an emergency, we would not have immediate access to a phone.
Although I do recommend, if you have a cable modem or router, that you buy an uninterruptible power supply, UPS, because they have such a low current drain, these things run on just a few watts, that a little $60 UPS will power them for 2 or 3 hours, which is the length of most outages around here. And I also must say that I have been particularly lucky. I use a Mediacom cable connection because I live out in the boonies. Mm. And I must say that the first 2 years were touch and go. There were a lot of outages and problems. In the past couple of years, there have been almost no outages at all. Their service has been remarkably reliable, which I just am almost dumbfounded how good it's been lately. And when you have a problem, they usually fix it pretty quickly. So depending on your cable company, but if you are relying on this for phone service, then you definitely should have one of these UPS boxes, and I'm not talking about a brown truck, that you can get in any of the stores, and connect your router and your cable modem to that box. And then even when the power goes out, you'll still have phone service.
Okay. Next up, someone in Bloomington, Illinois, line number 3. Good morning.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question about the high-definition television, and I was wondering if you can comment about plasma versus LCD screens, and if it's going to be 40 or 42-inch monitor, which will be used for computer monitor and also as a regular TV. Could you give any recommendations?
The technologies are awfully close. However, what I've read is that plasma has a very slight edge over LCD. It has a wider viewing angle. It has a slightly faster, there's less motion artifacts. If something's moving very fast, plasma usually handles it a little bit better. LCD can be very good, and the 40-inch size is still a competitive technology. I wouldn't get any larger than 40 inches with LCD.
Mm-hmm.
But plasma tends to be a little more expensive at this point, I think, at the 40-inch size. I'm not sure that the prices have been changing so fast. But according to Panasonic, they put all their eggs in the plasma basket, so they're a little prejudiced. But they feel that plasma gives you more picture for your money at that screen size, and that below 40-inch, they recommend LCD, but above 40-inch, they recommend plasma. So you're right at the dividing line there. One nice thing about plasma is that it's probably a little longer lived. The tubes that light the plasma display last probably a little longer than the tubes that light the liquid crystal display last a little bit longer than a plasma display might last. But they're very close technologies, and I would suggest going out and just looking at both and seeing which one appeals to you more. I think you'll find the plasma very impressive, but again, you can get some very good LCD depending on the quality of the LCD.
The only one comment viewer made, that if you will be using your TV as a computer screen, it's possible with plasma to burn in effect. What's your opinion about that?
That's a very good question, and it's something that people were concerned about. However, all the manufacturers have assured me and it has been published that they have figured out the burn-in problem and that it's very unlikely to happen, that they have sort of solved the issue. However, I would still say if for some reason you walk away from the computer with a static screen, you put it on somebody's homepage or whatever, or your text document sitting there, and you walk away for 12 hours and come back, there is a chance that plasma could burn in. Of course, most of the TVs will shut off the screen after 30 minutes or whatever. There is that remote chance you could burn in something to a plasma screen, but it's increasingly unlikely because of new technologies that protect the screen. With LCD, there's no chance of that because it's a totally different technology. So in that case, you are slightly safer with LCD, but the burn-in issue with plasma has been greatly reduced. So it depends on how careful you are, but in general, it's not going to be a major issue any longer.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. We have just about maybe 8 minutes left with Rich Warren. Our lines are open if you want to join us. 333-9455. Toll free, 800-222-9455. If you're outside the 217 area code, use our toll free line. One thing I wanted to ask you, Rich, could you sort of talk about the difference? We talked about, 1080p and 740, is it 740?
780.
I can't even keep track. 740i and all these. Okay, 780i. 780p, thank you. Okay, help clear up my confusion, please.
Oh, please. Yeah, this is, we'll take all 8 minutes and we have another call coming already. All right, here's the issue. Our conventional TV system, the one that we're used to for the past 60 years, uses what's called interlaced scanning. Because in the early days, it was very hard to get this technology to work right. So the electron beam went across the screen and scanned every other line of the picture. The picture is made of so many lines, and they couldn't scan them that closely together that fast. So they went to every other line, and then they come back, I think it's a 30th of a second later, and scan the other lines, and your eye can't really detect that easily, and you get a complete picture. Well, at the computer age, our technology has improved so much that with computer monitors, they're able to scan every single line as quickly as they needed to, which gave you more of a picture because now you're getting a complete refresh of the picture twice as often as you were with the interlaced scanning. And this progressive, the P is for progressive because it does every line, whereas interlace was like interlacing, if you can hear laces, going every other line. So you have your picture refreshed at 1080 I at a certain rate, which is, I'm always getting to the 60th, 30th, whatever the interval is. But with P, you're getting every line scanned within that interval. So you're getting twice the picture, basically.
Okay.
And 780 is about equal to 780p. fact, there was a 720. Is it 720p? I mean, you're confusing me as much as I think it's 720p, actually.
Okay, I think that sounds right.
Yeah, 720p is about comparable to 1080i as far as how much picture it gives you.
Right.
That it's doing this 780 lines progressively is equal to 1080 lines interlaced. But it depends on the native resolution of the display. So in some displays, it looks worse because the display isn't made to be scanned that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, LCD, for example, is a non-scanning display. So it just illuminates individual pixels. And the same with plasma. So it gets very complicated on how you relate these things. And the most important test is to go out to the store and just look at how the picture looks on fast action video from a really good source, which unfortunately most of the big box stores aren't. You're not going to see. But you really need to sit down at a smaller dealer and sit and look at the picture and let them put on a really high quality satellite transmission or disc and let you see how it looks. And, for example, ABC for the longest time was 720p rather than NBC was using 1080i. It's all legal. It's all part of the system.
Right.
But it gets very confusing. And this is what makes writing about this so difficult is I'm constantly looking things up and trying to figure out who's doing what this week because it changes. But obviously, if you can have 1080p, that's the ultimate. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to be using a system for movie theaters that's going to be four times that good. Mm-hmm. Which requires special transmission and everything. But it's all very confusing.
Okay. Rapidly changing. All right. We'll go on and talk with some other callers. We have about 5 minutes left. We'll try to get them both in here. Line number one, Champagne next. Good morning.
Hi, is this me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I just wanted to add something about Skype. I found Skype in Lithuania this summer. And generally, you don't need to hook anything to your computer. It seems like most computers have a built-in mic and speaker. And the thing that it's really handy for is, I think, for international calls because it's free and computer to computer. That's it.
You're absolutely correct. And Skype even has it better yet is that you can do video. I have a friend who lives half the year in the Czech Republic and the other half the year in Connecticut. And he's always communicating with his friends back and forth who have the similar equipped computers via Skype video. And he said it's wonderful. He said the transmission quality is great, and you can see pictures. And this gentleman is correct, is that if you have a good sound card in your computer, you just plug a headset and a microphone in, and you're all set.
Actually, I wanted to add something, is that I found it really helps to have whoever you're talking to on the screen.
Remember the days back in the 60s of the promise of the video phone? I remember AT&T set one up in the Prudential Building in Chicago, and you can go, and I think it was $40 for 10 minutes to have a video call. And now it's free on your computer, basically. And with Skype, you can pay the difference. It's like 4 cents a minute to contact somebody who doesn't have a Skype-equipped computer. They'll actually ring a telephone, but of course the video won't go. But it'll work with a conventional telephone if you pay the extra money.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call. Well, we have about 3 minutes left, and anything else that you wanted to mention that's new going on?
Well, it's I was hoping for more calls, actually, because usually I come prepared to say that the one thing I urge people to do, and I urge this in my column, just like in the old days when you were auditioning loudspeakers, I said sit in a room and listen to speakers with your favorite music. Mm-hmm. Take your favorite video disc, or if you're trying to judge high definition, go to a dealer that has a very good... There are high-definition videotapes out there that some dealers have or discs that are high-definition. And sit and compare TVs. And so forget the nomenclature. Forget which one's which and just see which one has a better picture. And be careful because some dealers – I remember audio stores back in the 70s didn't want to sell a particular brand of speakers because there's no profit in it. They would turn down the tweeter level on the back of the speaker so they sounded dull. Mm-hmm. And people didn't always catch on to this. Same thing is true with TVs. They have to be properly adjusted, and there's a lot of adjustments. And TVs should be set to their optimum, and there are optimum levels. There are calibration levels that you can compare apples to apples. And when you buy a TV from a company, one of the advantages of buying from an individual dealer, a small dealer rather than a big box store, is that that person, they should come out not only and deliver the TV, not only plug it in, not only make sure it works, but calibrate that picture. Get you the right picture. And the proper picture is not the brightest picture. It's not the picture with the most contrast. It's the most natural picture that's calibrated to the standards that are out there. And most independent dealers know how to do this. I doubt you're going to get that kind of service from one of the big box stores. They want to get the TV in the house. I bought my mother a new regular old-fashioned TV, and They were out there. They delivered it, had it set up, checked it out, and were out of the house in 5 minutes. And that's great for conventional TV. And even conventional TVs need certain color adjustments and brightness adjustments to look their best. So if you really want to get your money's worth, it's not the price you pay for the TV, but it's the service you get when they install the TV to make sure that everything's properly adjusted, and they teach you the intricacies of how to operate it, because operating a TV is not like it used to be where you just turn it on and see a great picture. So make sure you deal with somebody who can really hold your hand, because it's a big investment. You're going to be spending anywhere from $2,500 to $6,000, $10,000 on a TV set. You deserve the best treatment possible in setting up this set and making sure it's properly installed.
Okay, well, we'll leave it there. Our guest has been Rich Warren. He is our expert on consumer electronics. He's a columnist for the Champaign-Urbana News Gazette and also host of an excellent music program called The Midnight Special that airs Saturday afternoons here on WILL AM and also on WFMT Saturday night in Chicago, and joins us every once in a while to take questions. Rich, as always, thanks a lot.
Always a great pleasure to be here with you, Jack.